If you have children, odds are that you allowed them to watch cartoons this past Saturday morning, and that they also enjoyed themselves playing with toys. As a parent, you may still be able to remember the good times you had growing up doing those same things. Unfortunately, as with so many other things, the innocence of toys and Saturday morning TV has been tainted. What you're going to hear should shock you as we reveal the growing turmoil in the toy box and television's fixation with horror, the occult, and violence.
Joining us today is the Reverend Phil Phillips, who has traveled the country presenting evidence that something ominous is happening to the things with which our children play and the programs by which they are supposedly entertained. Well, now that sounds a little bizarre, doesn't it? We shall see. Phil, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Before we talk about specific toys and cartoons which are aimed at our children and what deleterious effects you believe that you have discovered that they're having, explain what you have found about the role that toys play in the development of a child.
Toys are very important. They are a tool for the play that the child will have. Play is extremely important in a child's life. A child will spend 15,000 hours in the play mode during the first 7 years of life. It is a process that is God-given. It's a God-given talent and a God-given ability that ensures that our children will educate themselves. If a child did not play, he would be considered grossly mentally retarded. A mentally retarded child can play. And play is a way that the children have of processing the images and the information that happen around them in everyday things of life. They're able to project themselves into roles that they couldn't act out normally and project themselves into roles that they'll take on later on in life. And so it's an excellent thing. And the toys are to be the impetus or the spark for the imagination. A child during play will project himself into a normal toy, giving it life, character, abilities, and talents, and setting the surrounding around it. And through that gift of imagination that God has given them, they learn from it. And yet there are toys on the market that are destroying his children.
Another new phenomenon in the world of toys and television is that there is now a close tie between the programs and the toy manufacturers. Tell us how this came about.
In 1982 was the first time that a toy and cartoon series was allowed to be developed simultaneously. The cartoon was called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. The cartoon was presented to all three major networks and turned down because of its level of violence and sex within the series. It was released to 166 independent TV stations, covered 95% of America, and garnered total market control according to Nielsen ratings. The 30-minute cartoon acts as a 30-minute commercial for the toy. And essentially what we have is a cartoon based on licensed product. And now a majority of the cartoons out are based on licensed product. The product that the toy manufacturers have developed, they go out and they hire animators to animate cartoons for them. So they have a lot of control over what's in those cartoons and how those cartoons are marketed. And what we've seen is we saw He-Man, a new release toy series, take up over half of Mattel's total sales in 1985. They did $500 million in sales, and since 1982, they've sold 77 action figures every minute, so it's been tremendously successful as a marketing ploy to the children.
In what ways do you advise parents to evaluate the cartoons which their children are viewing on Saturday mornings?
Evaluating the cartoons on Saturday morning is a tough job sometimes, because there's a lot of cute and innocent-looking things, and yet they still contain religious practices or occultic practices. In fact, 85% of the cartoons on the market, we will see religious or occultic practices take place. I'm talking about actual things going on in them. So we have to look at the content of the program. What is the message that this program is trying to share? More so than good versus evil, because sometimes we're suckers for good versus evil if good wins out. But where does good get his power? Is he calling on what they would term a demonic spirit, or is he using New Age philosophy? Is he involved in Zen Buddhism? Is he involved in Hinduism? We've got a tremendous amount of these religious practices being portrayed before our children, and so we have to look at it. Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, however we felt about those cartoons, did not contain religion within them. And however, we see that the new cartoons are presenting religion before our children. For instance, in Smurfs, Papa Smurf calls on the name of Beelzebub quite often when he's casting spells. But on the other hand, Gargamel, the arch enemy, in one episode, drew a pentagram on the ground, drew a circle around that pentagram, which is an actual witchcraft symbol, lit candles at each point, danced inside the pentagram, at which point a magical book opened up across the room, and a spiritual entity left that book, entered his physical body, giving him power to levitate and do battle against Smurfs. Well, every single element of that particular scene has its reality based in witchcraft and Satanism. And so that is a real religious practice. In Ewoks, for instance, we see that when an Ewok is born, a soul tree is planted. As the Ewok grows, the soul tree grows. When the Ewok dies, his spirit enters that tree for eternity. Now, live Ewoks can telepathically communicate to the dead Ewoks that are spiritual beings inside the trees. They can telepathically communicate to the spirits of the trees. When God is present in the encampment, the Zen Buddhist symbol yin and yang floats over the encampment, signifying his presence. And they have a psychic healer who does psychic surgery. They have magic stones shaped in that Zen Buddhist symbol. So these are actual religious symbols and concepts and practices presented to our children in warm, fuzzy feelings, or they are entertained by it in the cartoons.
These are really shocking statements which you're making. But have you documented these incidents?
Yes. In fact, we're working on a complete documentation of the occult within the cartoon industry for a secular book that we'll be doing called Saturday Morning Mind Control. But what we see is that there's 85% of the cartoons on the market today that contain religious occultic practices within them, and about 40% of the toys that are correlating with those 85% of the cartoons.
In the area of games, one that has been involved in a tremendous amount of controversy, and even had parents' groups formed against it, is Dungeons and Dragons. Tell us a little about this game and how many children are playing it.
Dungeons and Dragons is not at its peak right now, but it still has a strong underground following. What I mean by that is it probably has 3 or 4 million solid players. Dungeons and Dragons is a fantasy role-playing game. It's played totally in the realm of the collective imaginations of its players. The players roll 3 or 6 six-sided dice 6 times for their 6 character qualities. Once they have those character qualities, then they take on a character that they may play for 2 or 3 years in this fantasy role-playing position. They refer to books. The players refer to what is called a player's handbook. It's a book with a depiction of the god Moloch on the front cover, the god that the Babylonians sacrificed their children to. This book includes over 166 pages of spells to be cast during the game. Then there's a player called the Dungeon Master. He plays a god or a deity in the game, and he refers to books such as the Monster's Manual and Deities and Demigods. The word demigods means the product of sexual union between man and demon. And there are a tremendous amount of actual cult and even listings such as classic demons as Asmodeus and Succubus and the Incubus. But this collective fantasy, this role-playing, is a sugar-coated form of what is called psychodramatic techniques, a very powerful mind-bending tool and personality-altering tool that is currently being used to treat schizophrenic patients. It was developed by a man named Dr. Jacob L. Marino. Marino was a contemporary of Freud, and he said, if I could invent a game where man played God in his imagination, walked away from that game and went about his everyday things of life and came back to it and played God in his imagination again, then I could create a normal, healthy society void of the God syndrome or void of a belief in God. He didn't invent the game Dungeons and Dragons, but that's what fantasy role-playing games do, particularly when they're connected with an extreme amount of occult and demonic imagery.
Now, as we move into the realm of toys, what are some of the toys on the market today which concern you the most?
Well, we talked about He-Man being the one that set the stage for this. It broke the violence barrier, one of the issues. The very violent TV shows such as Miami Vice would average 4 to 6 violent acts every half hour. The paramount of violence in the old cartoon Roadrunner averaged 9 to 11 violent acts every half hour and was considered too violent in its day. He-Man and Master of the Universe came in with 37 violent acts every half hour. Then it was preceded by Dungeons and Dragons, which had 67 violent acts every half hour, and then came G.I. Joe, which had 80 violent acts every half hour. And now last year we have a new cartoon coming out on the market that is called Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future, and it's an interactive cartoon where the children buy a $40 toy so that they can shoot the television and the television shoots back at them. And this cartoon averages 124 violent acts every half hour, making it the most violent program ever aired on television. Since 1982, there's been a 780% increase in violence in children's programming, and there's been a correlating increase in violence on the play yards of America today for some strange unknown reason. But He-Man and Master of the Universe is also one of the most occultic cartoons on the market. He-Man is transformed from a muscular wimp named Adam into He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe, by lifting his a sword in the air and yelling, "By the power of Grayskull." Grayskull is a castle built by unknown hands in the shape of a skull. There's a spirit that lives within a castle that manifests itself in the shape of a skull. And in fact, this spirit told He-Man in one of the comic books that he would take the lordship of the universe someday because he was empowered and possessed by this spirit. His archenemy is named Skeletor, the Lord of Destruction. He is sold carrying a ram's head staff. Now, Skeletor introduces a tremendous amount of the occult within this series. But if we just look at the toy, the ram's head staff is a very occultic symbol. When the ram's head is seen, it is a classic symbol of Satanism. Satanism, often called the goat head religion, the worship of the half-man, half-goat deity Baphomet. But the ram's head on a staff is called a noroch. And when the noroch is seen in occult books, many times it's seen with the head of a dove crushed underneath the butt of the staff. In this cartoon, Skeletor's been responsible for making another character called Many Faces become demon-possessed. He's been responsible for introducing pyramid power and necromology, levitation, Zen Buddhism. And so we see that this occult stuff is coming in. But on the other hand, He-Man has a friend who's a witch called a sorceress. He also has another friend called Teela, the warrior goddess, who wears a cobra head breastplate and a cobra head staff. And the cobra is a symbol for demonic power and protection. And so the good characters have as much cult power, as much involvement in the demonic supernatural as the evil characters do. Another series that is out today is called Thundercats. Thundercats features Lion-O, a half-man, half-beast combination, who has a sword called the Sword of Omens. He plays a sorcerer within the series. The Sword of Omens has a ruby crystal in the center called the Eye of Thundera. When he takes that ruby crystal and he places it to his forehead, he says, "Give me sight beyond sight." This stands for the Hindu third eye. And his eyes glow. This is a classic symbol for demonic possession. If he gets into trouble, he calls on his father for guidance and counsel. The problem with this is that his father is dead, and he's involving himself in necromology. This is expressly forbidden in our Bible, Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 11. Then he has an arch enemy. His name is Mum-Ra. Mum-Ra lives in a black pyramid with four black pinnacles around it. He transforms from a mummy who has occultic powers into the ancient demon god Mum-Ra by saying something like this: "Ancient spirits of evil transform this decaying form into Mum-Ra, the ever-living evil one." And then he calls himself again the ancient demon god. And he can do a tremendous amount of cult practices. He manifests as a character with multi-headed cobras on his chest, multi-headed cobras on his head, and glowing red eyes, again a symbol for demonic possession. Another cartoon that's out, it's called Brave Star. Brave Star is brand new out on the market. Marshall Brave Star is called to be the Marshal of New Texas, a space age frontier. New Texas has a problem. They're overrun by what the cartoon calls a demonic spirit called Stampede. He has what the cartoon calls a demonic cohort called Tex-Hex. So here we have the cartoon saying these are demons. This is a demonic spirit. On the other hand, Marshal Brave Star, when New Texas calls for 1,000 marshals, they only get one. And the reason is because he has four demonic spirits that he calls on to empower him. And he calls on the power of the bear and other demonic spirits. And he learned this from the shaman, a witchcraft priest. And in fact, in one episode, he bows his head and he uses mental telepathy and he says, "Shaman, I need you." And the shaman appears to him and opens his hand and says, "I've seen all in the vision flames," and takes Marshall Braystar and another character on an out-of-body experience and astral projects them into a different realm. These are New Age concepts. These are directly from Satanism and the occult concepts. These are the Baha'i Faith. These are Buddhism and Hinduism being portrayed before our children in a way that's entertaining and it's cute and it's fun so that they have positive feelings toward these things. And what I see is that the He-Man and She-Ra, his twin sister, and some of the other characters are being lifted up as gods before our children.
One piece of advice that you give to parents is to discuss the plots and values of television programming with their children.
Right. I encourage parents to sit down with their children, watch the TV with their children, and ask their kids, "Hey, what's going on here? What do you see here?" And the other thing is, if you'll sit down with your child and read Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 11, look those words up in the dictionary so your child knows what God said, he knows what those things are. And then sit down with them with some of the cartoons that are in question and say, are these things in those cartoons? And if they are, these are things that we shouldn't have in our home. These are toys that we shouldn't have in our home. These are images that we shouldn't have in our home. So we can't watch these. And children, the amazing part is I have children in my presentation. And it really sets the stage for them to make a decision from their material wealth, their toys, and serving God. And the children really want to serve God. They really want to have God's best. And without a lot of encouragement, they're the ones who want to get rid of their toys. And God really honors that.
In your book, you also give advice on how parents can circumvent some of these difficulties with the use of a video cassette recorder.
Correct. There are some excellent things available on the Christian market right now that were not available 4 or 5 years ago. To use the video cassette recorder to show children these things, McGee and Me, the amazing book. We've got a series called Our Dwelling Place, which is a Bible application series that is excellent on the market. You can also record things that you see that are, evaluate well for your children and let them see them over and over again. A lot of people ask me about Sesame Street, and every once in a while there's something in Sesame Street that could be considered objectionable. And also there's a question about whether the pace is something that is valuable. So I encourage parents to take 12 Sesame Streets if they're going to let their children watch it and review everything that's in them so they know that it's okay, and then let the child watch it over and over again. You know, little children, when they're read to, like to have the same book read to them over and over again. They love repetition. And where an adult will watch a video one or two times, a child will wear it out. You know, but where the Christian market did not have Disney quality animation available 5 years ago, now it has it. In the amazing book, which cost about $320,000 to produce, it's Disney quality animation. It teaches children about the value of the Bible and learning the books of the Bible by heart, you know, and it has mice in it, and it's my 2.5-year-old's favorite. She says, I want to watch the mice. Then McGee and Me is a new series out that is excellent. It has a live-action animation format. Our Dwelling Place series is an excellent Bible application series where it shows the Bible story, and then the modern-day children are talking about how to apply that in their lives today. Those things are available. There are other things coming out on the market very quickly in the Christian market, but you have to go to your Christian bookstore and you have to find out what is available and to take a stand and to be willing to invest in alternatives. You have to know there's a problem out there in the first place. And so I encourage parents to use that video cassette recorder. The other thing is a good standard of television time. It's no more than an hour a day. 1 hour a day, particularly for young children, is enough. The average preschool in America today is watching 26 to 33 hours of television a week. They're spending 22,000 hours in front of a TV set before they graduate from high school, while the average American father is spending 37 seconds a day in direct, meaningful communication with his preschool-aged child and spending 172 minutes a week in total nurturing care of all of his children. We found that the average 10 to 13-year-old child was watching 100 R-rated movies a year. That's phenomenal. That means that they're watching more R-rated movies than even in the churches we surveyed. It was about 60 R-rated movies a year. They're watching more R-rated movies than they're spending time in church. And how can a child have a viable relationship with Jesus Christ while having that stuff made available to him? And through the VCR, which used to cost $3,000 in 1979, it's now $150, and through cable, our children have access to material. So if you're going to use the VCR, make sure it's used right. Make sure that you're using it to control the television. And know what your kids are doing. Make your children responsible to you for their spiritual lives. Let them know that, hey, every once in a while, I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to say, where are you at with Jesus? What's your spiritual life like? Where are you at? Don't assume just because you bring your child to church and they show signs of being spiritually alive that they are. Make sure that they know. Mom and Dad are going to hold me accountable for my relationship with God. Because we have that responsibility to mold our children spiritually. That's why they're dependent on us for 20 years. An elephant's born, it's a full-grown elephant in 18 months. We could have had children that were playing pro football in 20 months. But God made our children dependent on us for 20 years, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that we could impact this child who will live for eternity for Him. And so make your children responsible and accountable to you for their spiritual lives. Don't be afraid to ask them, what is your life, what is your relationship like with the Lord?
Before we run completely out of time, briefly tell us what you're trying to accomplish with Child Effects.
Child Effects is a resource magazine. It is in all the Christian bookstores in the nation. It's a 32-page full-color magazine. And we're trying to reach some people with this message who wouldn't be reached through the books and give some updated information. Currently, I'm working on a sequel to Turmoil. I'm working on a secular book. But Child Effects helps to deal with the issues that are affecting our children's eternal destinies. That's our goal. What issues, what current events will affect our children for eternity? And that's what we're dealing with in here.
Bill, it's been an informative half hour, and I thank you for making the trip to be with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
The Reverend Phil Phillips has been our guest. His books include Turmoil in the Toy Box and Horror and Violence, the Deadly Duo in the Media. Dr. Kennedy, trying to avoid all-out paranoia, it seems that wherever we turn these days, someone is trying to influence our children with ideas that are anti-Christian to the core. I may be looking at it from a jaundiced perspective, but has it always seemed this tough to be a parent?
No, I don't think that it has. There's no doubt in my mind that anti-Christian biases have mushroomed in the past decade or so, and we see incredible attempts to intrude into the minds of children in school or at home through cartoons, in newspapers and on television, and programs and toys, all sorts of things that are definitely not only not Christian but anti-Christian in their nature. And I think it's true that parents really need to be vigilant today, or they're going to wake up one morning and find their kids are up to their earlobes in some sort of an occult group. And though I must confess that when I thought about doing this program, I said to myself, oh my, really? Turmoil in the Toy Box. What is next? But after seeing what this gentleman has had to say, I think that he has some very important information that parents of small children need to hear.
It's obvious that we can take nothing for granted anymore, and we have to closely evaluate everything that we allow our children to watch and to play with. And most important of all, as parents, we must teach our children the Word of God and help them to be discerning on their own. This is Bob Allen for James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Truths That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Opinions expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.